Here we are. Simin Reishain Aleph Sif Hey. Steht in, says the Mechaber. So what happens? They're in the middle of drinking. It's Erev Shabbos. And in the midst of their drinking, they say, oh, let's make Kiddush. So what happens? Boom. They now have a chiv to make Kiddush. And even if they renege and they want to change their mind, they have to make Kiddush before they continue to drink. So it's an interesting Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah right here in Sifkat and Chaf Beis goes and says, Afa Bishayin Rishayim. So, says the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes a Taz. Says the Taz, Hayinu Mitam the Chola Aleim Kedushas Hayim. Once they say Bo'on HaKadosh, so that's Ki'ilu a Kabbalah, Kabbalah Shabbos, and therefore, thereby, there's Kedushas Hayim. Kosav HaTaz, Kshloyam Rebo'on HaKadosh, Ela Shehichshich. Let's say they didn't say anything. Just, you know, the clock struck 12. The clock struck Shkia. We'll call it Shkia. So, Imratzu Lachsav Elishayis, Ein Tzrichan Lachsav Levorich. They don't have to make a new bracha Rishoyna. After Asam Achmashu Koidim Kiddush, Ha'isu Levad, Ein Ois Hatzachadas. Says the Taz, a tremendous Kiddush. So, what did he just say? He just said, in layman's terms, that there's a difference between whether they verbalized and uttered Bo Nukadish, come let's make Kiddush, versus if it just got dark. What's going to be the difference? The difference will be whether or not they need to make a bracha Rishayna. Even though they'll need to make Kiddush, they won't need to make a bracha Rishayna. So again, did they make Kiddush here or not? When they want to go and drink more, what's the case of the Taz? They want to drink more without Kiddush or with Kiddush? Well, he doesn't mention Kiddush. No. Then they renege. And then they want to drink. Here it's the case when it was got dark. So right now it's Shabbos. So did they make Kiddush or not? So it seems like they're going to be, in the event, we're entertaining an eventuality that they're going to be drinking without having made Kiddush. So they're, so to speak, avaryanim. These are people who are going to be drinking, even though they said bona kaddish, they had to make a chiyuv, they have a chiyuv kiddush, they reneg. So then what happens then? They have to make kiddush, but then they decide, hey, we don't want to, and then they're going to drink. On that, says the Taz, that you don't need to make a bracha rishayna. Why? Because there's no hetz chadas. This is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Asks the Or HaChama. Who's the Or HaChama? Reb Zundel Kreuzer. Zundel Kreuzer was from our generation. He died 6-7 years ago. He's one of the few Yidden in history that wrote on almost every single topic. From Shas, to Chumash, to Nach, to Siddur, to Tehillim. There's not many who covered everything. So Reb Zundel Kreuzer has a Pirush Or HaChama on Mishnah Berurah. And he asks, on this Mishnah Berurah, he goes and he asks, how do you even understand the Taz? The Taz is telling you that this is a let's get aerial, yeah, aerial in a figurative sense. This is not, let's not be limited to Reishayin Aleph Sif Hey. Let's try to take it globally. If a person, how do we quantify what is Hesach Hadas? The Taz is telling you this scenario where you said let's make Kiddush. You now had to make Kiddush, then. Again, what's the case? You back out, and then you decide, I want to drink anyway. So do you need to make a new bracha rishayna? So I would have thought it's a hesgadas. You totally decided, hey, now I'm going to make Kiddush. Comes along the Taz and says, no, you don't need to, because the scenario was, they didn't say bo in the Kaddish. We're talking about a case when it just got dark. Hichshich. Hichshich, then there's more room to be more lenient. Asks Reb Zundel Kreuzer, the Or HaChama, I don't understand. Shouldn't the Isser Te'ima be considered a Hesach Hadas? You are not allowed to taste anything. There's no greater Isser Te'ima than that. The Isser Te'ima, there's no greater Hesach Hadas than that. You're not allowed to drink anything. So now, at that point, what's going through your mind? I can't drink anything, therefore, whatever I'm going to eat afterwards is going to be something new. So how does that even work? So now, true, the whole Taz is a little bit odd. The Taz is reckoning with Avaryanim, and in the event that they want to go and be over. But there is one scenario where you don't have to consider them such terrible people. There's a scenario where, let's say they heard Kiddush from somebody else. Well, let's say they heard Kiddush from somebody else. So what would be the case? Okay, you ready? This is... Again? Because they have a chiyuv. They said they got dark. Then they needed to make Kiddush. They decided to renege. And now we need to know, do they need to make a bracha rishonah? Yeah? So I'm just going to backtrack for you. The bottom line is, this is almost impractical. Right? This case is very odd. Because where are you going to have an actual practical case that this will play out? But I want to glean one aspect here. Rav Scheinberg goes and says, on this Mishneh Berurah, Rav Scheinberg had a sefer. It's called Chidushe Basra. It wasn't written by Rav Scheinberg. It was written by his son-in-law, Rav Chaim Doiv Altuski. But he quotes very, very often from his father-in-law, who gave a shir on Mishneh Berurah. So here it is, Chidushe Basra on Mishneh Berurah. He goes and he quotes this Arach Hamah, and then he goes and he says, so what would be the scenario even where the Taz would even make any sense? Because seemingly, the Isser to eat should be considered a Hezchadas. Are we together? Yeah, we're all together?
Why is that Hezchadas?
Hezchadas is because you know good and well that you're not able to eat anything, so then it's game over. I now have Hezchadas. How, again, when we're going to get to Hilchas Brachas, right? If you didn't foresee any more food coming in Kuf Ayin Hey and Kuf Ayin Tes, if you didn't foresee any more food coming and you thought the meal was over, barring any fancy stuff that, like, your wife runs the kitchen, they talk about it by dessert. Let's say the meal ends.
What if they didn't know about this meal?
Ah, so again, who are we dealing with? That's why this, in a practical sense, is very confusing. On a gleaning lumdis sense, I just want to highlight one point. How you can go and quantify what is Hezchadas. And then we're going to move on because we're spending already too much time on this. I want to get on to Vav, Zayin, and Ches as well. So, says the Chidushe Basra, a tremendous Chidush, and he has one scenario will actually be a saving grace. Says the Chidushe Basra that he wants to go, and there's two different aspects. What would necessitate a new bracha? It's right here. It's on Chidushe Basra, on this Mishneh Berurah, Sivkot and Chaf Beis. So he goes and he says, he wants to now defend the Taz, why it's not a Hezchadas. Answers the Chidushe Basra, even though Kiddush is going to be a Hefzik, nevertheless, you need two aspects, potentially, in order for it to be considered a Hefzik. Yeah? One of them is passive, the Isser Te'ima. The other one is the fact that you went and did a Maisa that is a Hefzik. What would be that Maisa, that tangible action that you took, is to make Kiddush. When you have both that hit you, then that's a Hezchadas. Says the Taz, he wants to explain and try to save the Taz in light of the Arach Hamah's question, but if you only have one without the other, how would that play out? You would have a case of, let's say, someone else being moitzi you. So again, this whole thing is foolish because he's also going to be saying a bracha rishayna. He's going to be saying a hagofen. So this is really, really limited. But what could you see from the Hezchadas? Being that you didn't go and do a deliberate action that negates your mindset, all you did was it got dark out. So boom, it got too dark. Now I have to make Kiddush. Now I have an Isser. I'm not allowed to taste anything. So I'm stuck. But I didn't actually go and make Kiddush. He says, let's say someone else would actually be mitzi you. So there, the Taz potentially would make a lot of sense. Because then the Taz would be telling you, you don't need to make a new bracha rishayna. All you need to do is make Kiddush. So that's how we can glean what the Taz's understanding as it pertains to Hesach Hadas is. That there's what to explore, what is the bar and what's the threshold for Hesach Hadas. Let's move on to Sifvav. Sifvav is going to get very exciting. Again, the actual case in the Shulchan Aruch is not practical because, generally speaking, it doesn't play out, but this is going to pertain to many, many scenarios that would happen every single week, potentially. So if I had to ask you, let's just do the practical application. If I had to ask you, when you start your meal, Shabbos, and Shal Shudas is going late. You had started well into the daytime, it goes into the nighttime. So what do you say when you bench? You say Ritzay or not? Fine, we all say Ritzay. Great. And then we all know the classical case, brought in the Magen Avraham and Kuf Peches, that what happens when you begin, and it just happened a few weeks ago, you begin, it's regular Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. So now what do you do? So that very same place, the Mishnah Berurah over there at the end of Kuf Peches goes and brings a Taz, crazy, crazy Tut Sadim. Do you say, just Ritzay, because you had started? Ah, I got you. You got excited. Do you say Ritzay just because you began when it was Shabbos, but when you ended, it's now Rosh Chodesh, so maybe you should just say Yalav Yavai? Or do you say both? Because you dipped, you know, you danced by Beit HaChasanas, you danced by both. So, therefore, you have to say both. So, the Mishnah Berurah, this is one of the Mishnah Berurahs that, as we mentioned before, when he's not Machriya, so we have certain tools that we try to use. The second opinion, or when he says Avol, we mentioned from Yaakov Kamenetsky that the Avol, when he pulls back and he says, but Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in Emes LeYaakov, that's a psak. And when he asked why, he said, if you learned the Mishnah Berurah as much as I did, so then you would come to the same conclusion. One of those, like, don't question me. So, the Mishnah Berurah over there, in Kuf Peches, again, if you believe in all these things that you can give so much credence in the Mishnah Berurah, that's another hanacha here, predicated on that hanacha, then the Mishnah Berurah doesn't give you any insight. He just tells you, there's a Magen Avraham, and then there's a Taz, and then all the latter poskim can go and say, so avoid it. Either there's two ways to avoid it. One way to avoid it is make sure to eat, deliberately eat, after Shkia. Okay, by Rosh Chodesh, it's not going to work. Okay, make sure you don't eat after it's Seis. And then you're safe. See to it not to eat after Seis, because then you can make just say Ritzay without any qualms, and you're good. Fine, that's the simplest Eitza. What? So you're going to run into Sveikas. So it's Suffolk on top of Suffolk on top of Suffolk, for sure after Seis. So I'm playing it safe. You know, after Shkia, yeah, if you could. But again, what type of Shal Shudas is that already? So for the first 13 minutes, you're for sure safe. From 13 to 18, you're still for sure safe, according to many opinions. So now we're quickly going to get into Simon Reis Tamach Aleph. When, Zmanim-wise, when does Seis begin? So according to the Gra, it's at 13 minutes. Is it 18? Is it 20? Is it 35? Is it 45? And then that's when your head starts to spin. Ramosha's relative Seis, as per the East Coast of United States, how the sun sets. I don't even know what I just said, but everyone just nod, please. Yeah. 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 He doesn't differentiate. Right, he doesn't differentiate. And then it gets tricky. Okay, we're not going to get into that. But let's say Tseis, for sure you should stop eating by Tseis. So now, when we get to Reish, what does that have to do with us? That has nothing to do with us, seemingly. When you get to the Simon Reish Ayin Aleph over here, the Beis Yosef goes in Sif Vav, and he goes in, what's the case? What happened? You finish your meal on Friday afternoon. Then you made Kiddush. Then you benched. So now, what happened? Most of your meal was during Friday daytime. Then you ran into Shabbos. It's the reverse. So when you bench, what should you say? Following the same rule of Kuf Peches, you should not be saying Ritzay. Fair?
You make
What? No, you benched. You benched right after Kiddush. You did not continue the meal. So what does he say? In Gomer Suda, I'll say the Kaddish Hayoim. Sorry, you're right. It became Shabbos. No Kiddush. So what would you say? It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer that you should go and say no Ritzay. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch goes and says, what? Benching. When you bench, you're then going to start your... You're then going to start your...
Before Kiddush.
Before Kiddush, yeah. You want to sever and finish up your Friday meal and then start a new Suda for Shabbos. So when you bench... The benching is going on the Friday meal, but it's nighttime. So presently, this is good. That's exactly you're falling right where I want you to fall into. So now, presently it's Shabbos. So now, what should you do?
You should have to say.
But I thought we follow the rules that it goes based on where you started. That's by Shal Shudis. It started on Shabbos, so that's why you say Ritzay. So here, if you want to convert that, most of your meal was on Friday, so you should not be saying Ritzay.
So you're extending Shabbos.
You're not extending anything. Your meal was during Friday. You happened to dip into Shabbos. So you dipped into Saturday night. And yet, you still say Ritzay on Saturday night. You with me? Somewhat.
Shabbos, I don't know.
Yeah, go.
I would say Shabbos is then in the eating. Then in Shabbos. Y'all be able to eat. Then you have to eat.
Okay.
Shabbos, it comes. Shabbos.
Okay, so there might... Okay, so meaning, if you had to like take stock of what it is, that's where you would turn. That would be the direction to take. So we're going to get there, yeah? You might be in company, good company with the Taz. You and the Taz. Not bad. Yeah? So the difference would be, he's going with the Taz. So the Taz would answer you. Yeah? We're going to get there in a second. Yeah? Give me 1 second. We're just going to... We'll bring everyone up. Because the problem's like this. The Shulchan Aruch goes and tells you, what should he do? You should say no Ritzay. Why? Because your eating was during the weekday.
What?
What exactly? Thank you. Pause for effect. Yeah? What? So now, how does that even work? Comes along the Ramah. No! What do you mean? It's not so simple. Look in Kuf Pei Ches. We don't say that. And then the plot thickens, because in Kuf Pei Ches, if you actually look up the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch himself, he goes and he tells you, say Ritzay. So we call that a contradiction, and the Bach picks up on it. The Bach over there goes and tells you, I don't even understand what happened. The Shulchan Aruch contradicts himself. In Kuf Pei Ches, he tells you, say Ritzay, because we go... where you started. We go after where you started. And then in Reish Ayin Aleph, what does he tell you? Don't say Ritzay. Sorry. I messed it up. He tells you, say Ritzay. Even though you started during the weekday, it's presently Shabbos, say Ritzay. That's a head-on collision. The Bach just leaves it like Tzarchin. Tzarchin? It's a straight-up collision. Nothing to do about it. Comes along the Taz, and the Taz says, similar to what you were alluding to, that, no, this is our way out. You want to get some wiggle room? There's a difference between passively extending Shabbos versus having a Tosefes, a new Kedusha that hits you. Ready? Let's plug it in. When you have Shabbos, and Shabbos happens to end, and Shabbos goes out, so there's no problem to still ride the wave. We always go after the initial beginning of the Suda. The initial beginning of the Suda was Shal Shudas when it was daytime, so you therefore have the right to go and say Ritzay. Says the Taz. But the flip side, also we would go after the beginning of the Suda, which should tell us, don't say Ritzay. How then does the Mechaber go and tell you to yes say Ritzay? Because there's an added Kedusha. And when you have an added Kedusha that's elevating the scenario, that requires and that demands a Kiddush. So that's how he covers his back. By Motzei Shabbos, it's just passive, and you're extending a Kedusha of Shabbos into Motzei Shabbos, whereas by Friday, you have a Tosefes Kedusha. And the Tosefes Kedusha will enable you to then demand a Ritzeh, even though we generally will go after the Haskalah Sasuda. That's the Taz, and that's what you said. Fair? Yeah, basically. So now you're just supposed to nod. Now comes along the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, this is where you see like how Poiskim and Klalei Apsak work. The Magen Avraham goes and tells you, and this is the easiest way to get out of a stira. The Beis Yosef is unsure how we paskin. It comes from a Tshuvas HaRosh. Over here in Kuf Reish Ayin Aleph, he quotes a Tshuvas HaRosh, and the Meiri in Psachin goes like that versus the Maril, and he's really toying with who to paskin like. So he therefore says two differing opinions because he's not so sure. Right? So again, that just basically leaves us in the dark as to what to do. Right? But that's everyone, many, many Chavrusa Shafs ask this question, how in the world does this fit with practical normative halacha? So first of all, if you're Ashkenazi, there's no problem. Because the Ramah keeps everything simple. We always go after the beginning of the Suda. Period. So, everyone here is Ashkenazi? Yeah? Great. So we're safe. For our Sephardi brethren...
You don't say you're
correct. The Ramah says we always go after the beginning. It's simple. And he follows the rules of Kuf Pei Ches. Nothing to talk about, so you're safe. So if you're a Sephardi, what are you going to do? Then either you go like the Taz, and thereby you're going to have to do two different things, differing things, based on which end of beginning of Shabbos or after Shabbos. Or you go like the Magen Avraham, which really leaves it very gray. And again, this is a general thing. I happen to love Klalei Apsak. Are Svardim bound by the Ashkenazi Poiskim's understanding in the opinion of the Mechaber? Yeah, I never understood how that works. I mean, you want to tell me Chacham Avadia and Chafa Chaim or Ben Ishchai how they perceived and they interpreted the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. So yeah, okay, you know, they follow theirs, we follow ours. But when you get to, does a Sephardi have to bend and defer to the Taz's interpretation in a Mechaber?
That would only be a kasha if there's a Sephardi going against the Taz. But there's still a hold of the...
So we would have to find, okay, it's only going to hit you, smack you in the face when we have a differing Sephardi opinion versus the Taz in the opinion of a Mechaber. Yeah, that's when you're going to be like, okay, so now we need to know the answer to this question. Fine? So now what are we going to do on a practical, just practically wrap it up in a practical sense? And we're almost out of time. We're continuing next week from Sif Tes. First of all, Simon Reish Mem Tes, you're not supposed to have a Suda Erev Shabbos. So this case is really, really rare. What's going on? What's the problem if you say Ritzeh? When? So is the Shem Shemayla Vatala. Let's go through all of our Tzadim. Who says this? Right, so again, what's the cost already? What's the cost? Why? True. It's, first of all, it's in between Rachim and Uvnei. It's not the end of the world. If you were in a bind and it was a Shas al Chak, may you speak between Rachim and Uvnei? Definitely what to rely on. So you said Ritzeh. Okay, it's not the end of the world. And unless you want to get creative and we're nervous about those Shem Hashems. But also, it's a tefillah. It could be no different than saying Tehillim. What happened already? Fine, that's a fair tainus. But practically speaking, what are you going to do on Erev Shabbos? The best is to avoid it. And generally speaking, what? Peres Mappa, that's a question we nevu bein the whole sif. What happened to Peres Mappa? That's how he ends off. He ends off that everything I'm saying is really moot because you should just be Peres Mappa. Fine, but Peres Mappa is fraught with its own issues, on a practical sense. So, generally speaking, a person should avoid it. I want to just refer to Sif Zayin and Sif Ches. Sif Zayin is Toam, even if you were Toim, you still have a Chiv to be Mekadesh. And Sif Ches is, even if you forgot, you still have to be Mekadesh Kol Hayom. I had the following story that happened just 1 year ago. My neighbor in Malot Dafan Yerushalayim knocks on the door. Her husband is away for Shabbos, and it's Shalosh Shudas right before Shkia. She needs to know last night. This is Simon Reish Ayin Aleph in a nutshell. You cover the beginning and the middle and almost the end. She said, so I made Kiddush last night. I picked up a Becher, and I said, Baruch atah Hashem lekeinu melech haolam, Borei pri hagafen, and I drank. Is that okay? And what do I do now? Shkia's in 3 minutes. Nothing. She said, Borei pri hagafen. So she wasn't Mekadosh anything. She didn't have a Ma'ariv. She didn't say, oh, she may have said good Shabbos. What do we have here? That is Sivches. That is Sivches. She needs to make Kiddush. So now it gets tricky with Vayichulu. We're going to see at the end of the Siman, you have to say Vayichulu. But she definitely needs to. She definitely needs to make Kiddush. And that was the Psak. You must make Kiddush. Run, make Kiddush, and make a Barei Pri HaGafen, and drink a cup of wine, and go right into Shalshutz. Kol Tov.